Well, hello everyone. Today we're going to be talking about Gustave Le Bon and specifically his book, The Crowd. Now, I touched on Le Bon in my book, The Populist Delusion. His thinking somewhat informs many of the elite theorists. There's no dedicated chapter on Le Bon, but his ideas are explored throughout the book. They also inform much of the analysis in applied elite theory and much of the stuff I've done here on this channel in the past as well. So without further ado, here's Le Bon. If you can't tell, he was French. And he wrote this book, The Crowd, in 1895, the foundational text of mass psychology. And one of his key insights is that when individuals get together in a crowd or in a mob or in any configuration where they start to become part of a unit that is bigger than themselves. The psychologist Jonathan Haidt called it the hive switch. You know, you actually start to feel some part of a unit bigger than yourself. And it can lead to feelings of euphoria. Think about, in the modern world, you're most likely to experience it at a sports, like a football game or a sports event, where you're part of a big crowd all singing together, okay? But there are many other contexts in which it can happen as well, of course, politics being one of them. But Le Bon says that when individuals form a psychological crowd, they undergo a profound change. Conscious personality fades, the collective mind takes over, and it becomes impulsive, it becomes suggestible, and it acts as a single organism. Le Bon compared this to a hypnotic trance. Personal responsibility dissolves and the group becomes something greater and more dangerous than the sum of its parts. I would actually argue that a modern application of Le Bon's ideas can be seen on social media, especially Twitter or X and various other fast-moving social media sites like that, Facebook to some extent as well, where you see the individuality of people, individuals receding and this kind of collective hive mind taking over. And the results can often be quite scary, especially if you're on the receiving end of it or if you're caught up in the midst of it. I, of course, have left Twitter some time ago and I encourage everybody else to do the same. Crowds cannot reason. I teach a course at the academic agency called Foundations of Logic. I also teach Foundations of Rhetoric. Buy both of them now. I'll talk more about that in a second. But if you're in this moment, if you've had this transformation take place and you're part of this, the crowd cannot reason. It is always emotional. It cannot process logical argument. Complexity, nuance, these leave crowds unmoved. What spreads instead is emotional contagion. Simple, exaggerated sentiments that bypass critical thought entirely. Crowds are irritable, they are impulsive, they are incapable of sustained reasoning, and when composed of otherwise thoughtful individuals, you know, it can be quite disheartening if you're an outside observer to see people you know, friends of yours, lose their cognitive faculties when they're caught up in the crowd. I believe, as I've already mentioned, that social media brings out this aspect of human beings, and that's why I consider it to be a social ill. Another thing that crowds are, as a result of this incapacity of reason, is they are always fickle. The crowd is fickle. Okay, 1 minute, 1 month, they're all about this thing. The next month, all their enthusiasm was drained away. Le Bon was a Frenchman in the late 19th century, so his way of putting it is that the crowd is always and everywhere feminine and passive. Okay, he is there. They are there to be wooed, but they are also swayed by emotions. And just like, you know, the stereotypical woman that a 19th century Frenchman would think of, you know, 1 minute she loves you, the next minute you're the worst thing ever. And if you have a look at the behavior of crowds over periods of times, you can think of your own social media feed. Something that's a flavor of the month in one moment and, you know, is so important that people are prepared to lose friends over it. You know, a couple of months later, they've lost all enthusiasm for it. Okay, emotional, feminine. The leader has a lot of power in this situation, and his power derives from a number of things. Now, at some point, I will get to a recent work on persuasion. In Foundations of Rhetoric, I talk about some of the latest thinking about persuasion, because that's what rhetoric is. It's the art of persuasion. And one of the people I look at is a chap called Robert Cialdini, who has six nodes of persuasion. Very important is authority, or as Le Bon puts it, prestige, derived from titles, personal qualities, demonstrated success, and this renders the crowd largely uncritical. Now, you can see this in mass advertising. You know, it's the typical thing where a guy is selling you, you know, dishwasher tablets or washing up liquid or detergent of some sort, but he's wearing the white lab coat and it's, I've done serious scientific study. And, after all the tests, this is the detergent that's the number one. It will get your clothes cleaner. It will get your dishes whiter, whatever the spiel is. And authority, prestige, supersedes and overrides the critical faculties, especially if somebody is in the crowd, like in the trance of the crowd, okay? Second is affirmation. Bold, unqualified assertions carry far more weight with crowds than carefully reasoned positions. You don't want to get up there and quote this statistic and that statistic, or go through, you know, premises and, well, here I proved it this way and that way. What you want to what you want is just a bold assertion, just put out there as if it's a fact, and you will count on the sway of the crowd to do the rest of the work for you, if it's a particularly charismatic leader. And finally, repetition. Okay, I was fond of quoting this German propagandist who said, repeat it every day. Repetition. If you repeat an idea insistently enough, they become accepted truths. Frequency shapes belief more reliably than evidence. So you just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. People come to just accept those things as fact, even if it's a lie in the first place or a twisting of the truth. That is less important because people are not using their critical faculties. And if you think that modern propagandists do not use these techniques, I suggest you pay closer attention. All that's happened since Le Bon's time is that the technology required to do these things, mass media, social media, has become more sophisticated and it's become faster. And that only amplifies and multiplies the effect of the crowd. So how do ideas spread? Well, they spread through contagion. Now, at some point, the famous scientist and atheist Richard Dawkins claimed that he came up with the idea of the meme, that ideas spread through contagion. Actually, it was Gustave Le Bon who first came up with this idea, or at least the raw kind of basic embryo of the idea. A single strong idea, emotionally charged and repeated with conviction, can seize an entire group and drive collective action, regardless of its truth or its practical merit. Now, have a think about some of the kind of crazy situations we've seen in recent history. A lot of people, men and women, who are usually clever, intelligent, critically thinking type people, got caught up in a maelstrom of moral panic in the summer of 2020 as regards George Floyd and the Summer of Love, as we call it, or BLM, Black Lives Matter. And I'm sure a lot of those people looking back now will wonder how it is they got caught up in this madness, essentially. Because if you have a look at the facts of that case, if you have a look with any sort of critical capacity whatsoever, nothing upon nothing justified what happened in that summer, some of the decisions that were taken then, it was like a collective madness took over those people and institutions that succumbed to the madness of crowds in that moment. Many other examples available all the way through history. There is direct emotional influence. Ideas do not persuade crowds through logic. They spread through contagion rapidly, invisibly, often without the individual member even being aware that the process is taking place. The existential playwright Eugene Ionesco from the Theatre of the Absurd once wrote a whole book on this, a whole play. It was called Rhinoceros, where this chap was watching people in his town turn to rhinoceri, and he was the only one left who was not a rhinoceros. It's a pretty good metaphor for what Le Bon is talking about here. Repetition embeds ideas in the unconscious. Affirmation displaces skepticism. Emotional charge accelerates the spread. So it really is like a contagion that sweeps through people. Speaking of things sweeping through, we're currently suffering a huge heat wave here in the UK. I don't know if you can see the sweat on my brow here, but that only means one thing for all of you guys. It's promo code Scorcher, 25% off all courses. And when we come back, I will finish off the very interesting ideas of Gustave Le Bon. It's the Academic Agency summer sale. Use the promo code Scorcher, 25% off all courses. Scorcher, get it now. Scorcher, 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 promo code Scorcher, 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 buy it now. All right, yeah. Having learned from Le Bon, repeat it every day. Let the emotion take you over. if you want to learn more about some of these ideas, Foundations of Rhetoric has a lot of it, as well as many of the other great courses there at the Academic Agency. 25% off right now. So images, symbols, and extremes. Abstract ideas are quickly reduced to vivid pictures, slogans, binary moral categories. Crowds think in terms of heroes and villains. They think in terms of good and evil, and rarely in shades of grey. This gives collective movements extraordinary emotional power, because they believe that they are typically believe that they are taking on an evil enemy. Okay, and that they are the ones smiting in the name of good. And it makes them equally prone to excess and violence if allowed to get carried away. Anonymity and invincible power. So the liberation of the crowd. So when an individual is submerged in a crowd, he feels both invincible and anonymous. Okay, and it shouldn't be underestimated how much the anonymity of the individual caught in the crowd. I mean, think of your stereotypical Twitter mob as an example. You know, back when the whole cancel culture thing was happening and people would mob around, they would barrack an institution trying to get this individual fired or that individual fired. They would attack a person and they'd feel safe doing it because they were either anonymous, okay, or they were in a crowd. Okay, so they felt like they were invincible. Like they felt as long as they were in the safety of that crowd, nothing can stop them. Incidentally, if you're ever in the middle of it, anything like that, if you're the target of it, one of the ways to fight it, of course, is just to isolate and pick out individuals from the crowd, isolate them, and it strips away their feeling as of invincibility, strips away their anonymity, it exposes them. And suddenly they don't feel so strong anymore. This is one of the great ways of dealing with like a kind of mob bully, like a bully mob, something like that. Pick it out, isolate. But anyway, while we're on this subject, normal social restraints no longer apply when the individual is in the crowd. They feel emboldened to say things they would not usually say, to go to places they would not usually go, and personal accountability vanishes. That is why in so many of those flash mobs, you saw people, professors, lawyers, professional people, lose themselves and, take to violence. I mean, think of Antifa attacks on various individuals. They thought nothing would happen to them. They thought that the law would never catch up with them because they were full of moral rectitude. They were full of their own cause. They were full of the invincibility of the crowd. They believed nothing could stop them. And of course, there were many cases where people did end up being persecuted, sued, go to jail, etc., as a result of the fact that they actually were accountable because the law treated them as individuals. And the same goes for many other cases as well. You could argue that there was some aspect of this at play here in January the 6th from the MAGA crowd who believed that nothing would happen to them because they were all together. There's a million of us. What are you going to do type thing? And that is why people end up doing silly things when they're in crowds. The consequences rage across the full spectrum of human behavior, heroic self-sacrifice, act of extraordinary courage, okay, but also barbaric violence and mob brutality. Okay, and I've always thought that the mob or the crowd is one of the truly scariest things, really, especially if you value your individuality. It's part of humanity that is at its scariest, and Le Bon truly captures some of that. The same crowd can be both heroic or barbaric. The psychological mechanisms are identical for both heroism and barbarism. What differs is the suggestion or emotion that dominates in the critical moment. Le Bon offers no reassurance whatsoever, only a diagnosis. And another really good reason to read Le Bon is that he's unsentimental, he is unromantic, he is truly like a realist trying to see things as they are, not as they ought to be. Foundational thinker for the school of realism. We live in the age of crowds, with mass media, urbanization, and universal suffrage all around us. And let's not forget, he was writing in 1895 when these things were getting going. All of these things have only exacerbated since then and made what he was saying more true, not less true. Le Bon argued that modern democratic societies have entered an era governed by crowd psychology rather than individual deliberation. Politics, culture, and public life would hence thought forth be shaped by forces that classical liberal theory had failed to anticipate or account for. And what he's truly saying there is not that the crowd dictates what happens. It's actually, look at those people who are able to manipulate the crowd. Okay, the people who control newspapers, for example, or television stations, the media, the mass media, and now in the modern age, social media, that becomes the crucial mechanism. And so it's actually a centralization of power, even though it's the mass of people involved. The mass are just an unthinking zombie, basically, an unthinking zombie ready to just be, swayed this way and that by skillful orators and people with deep pockets. Then Le Bon talks about the language of leadership. Leadership speaks to the unconscious. Effective leaders completely bypass rational argumentation. They address the imagination directly. They use vivid imagery and emotional appeals. They use repetition relentlessly. Ideas imprinted through constant repetition acquire the force of established fact in the collective mind. They employ symbols over abstractions. Symbols, okay, that fist that you kept on seeing during the BLM time, or think of any of the other symbols that you see, the rainbow flag, whatever it is. These powerful images move crowds far more reliably than reasoned program or policy detail. And at the end of it all, you get both a warning and a manual for leaders and a warning for everybody else. Le Bon's framework explains both sudden revolutionary explosions and the surprising durability of traditions. When a powerful new idea captures collective imagination, rapid change does follow. When traditional authorities retain their prestige and emotional hold, societies remain stable even amid surface agitation. The crowd serves as both a warning about mass society and a practical guide for those seeking to understand or to shape it. And again, it's value free. It doesn't serve any one political side. It is just really a book about what the crowd is, how it functions, who has power over it, and what specifically those leaders who do have power over it have to do to kind of gain that power and then maintain that power. Really interesting thing to study. If you want to know more, like I said, Populist Delusion and Applied Elite Theory, the courses at the academic agency talk about this. If you want dedicated stuff on it is in Foundations of Politics and the Foundations of Rhetoric courses on Le Bon specifically, but it is flecked all the way through my work. 25% off with promo code Scorcher, and honestly, I have to get out. Bye, everyone. It's really hot. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.